This theme should not be interpreted as morbid. It should be accepted as fact. What we have come to know as church on earth was never intended to continue indefinitely. Plans from the beginning involved its removal. Now, we've grown so accustomed to its presence that it is hard to conceive a planet without the presence and the influence of the church. It is a jolt. Nevertheless, these are the last days of the church, and you and I must come to terms with this fact. The removal of the church presages one thing. This fact will be followed immediately with the fact of judgment. When the ameliorating influence is withdrawn, the final audit will begin. The book of God is clear on what accompanies the last days of the church. I will go over these checkpoints with you. Here is checkpoint number one, the reestablishment of Israel. Now, this must remain the number one headline of a half century that has seen more crowded into it than any other one segment of 50 years in history, including two destructive world wars, a devastating depression, impending nuclear holocaust, the worldwide blight of communist impudence, as well as the greatest scientific breakthrough and industrial revolution ever achieved by man. These 50 years have been action-packed. I have never lacked for excitement on page one. So Isaac is back where his Elohim intended him to be. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Is it any wonder then, mister, as there is a heaven and a hell, that the biggest quarrel brewing should be over that parcel of real estate? Watch the focus on Jerusalem and the temple area. As the vicar of Christ, the Holy Spirit, retires from earth with the bride, the true witness, the earthly witness to God's integrity, Israel falls prey to the man of sin and the false prophet who appropriate the holy places for their enforced worship, docile prostration to the cult of man. Now it will be a replay on a universal scale of grandeur of Nebuchadnezzar's folly. Now, if he be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Here is checkpoint number two. Distress of nations. International tensions never subside. Monetary markets slip and slide. Today the French franc may be in jeopardy. Tomorrow the British pound may take a beating. American gold reserves diminish. A sickness frustrates the governments of earth. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Here is checkpoint number three. Fulfillment of man's mission. Genesis 1, 26 through 30 sets forth the five-fold program. A, have dominion. B, be fruitful. C, multiply. D, replenish the earth. And E, subdue it. Man has wrested from this planet electronics, transportation to other worlds, genetic marvels, medicines and transplants, nutrients, synthetics, computers. Man has recorded and filed his findings and his thoughts. Man has shrunk and explored his planet, climbed its heights, plumbed its depths. Knowledge has increased. The assignment has been completed, and now it's time for the examination. And here is checkpoint number four, lawlessness. Iniquity shall abound. Not long ago, an Oregon district judge addressed himself to two young American lawbreakers. You come from good homes, he said, both of you. Yet now you have been convicted of a felony, a crime for which you may be sent to the penitentiary. In this case, I am permitted to give you a parole. But you will not have escaped the penalties of your crime. The record of your conviction will be here as long as the courthouse stands. No amount of good conduct in the future can erase it. Someday, you lads may have the chance to work in South America, and you will apply for a passport. You may not get it. You may enter Canada for a fishing trip, but you would not be allowed to stay. No country will allow you to become a resident. Your world is now much smaller than it was. Someday you will seek a position in the civil service of your state or nation, and on the application blank you will find the question, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And your truthful answer will bar you from an appointment, and an untruthful answer will be detected. In a few years you will be 21, and others your age will have the right to vote, but not you. Someday the governor may pardon you and restore your rights, but it is going to be humiliating to ask him. I'm granting you boys a parole, but a parole is in no sense a pardon. You will report to the men who have accepted your parole as often as they may ask. Your convenience is not a matter of importance. You will also obey your parents. And if your parents send you to bed at 9 o'clock, you will go without complaint. Your parole is a very fragile thing. Should the slightest complaint of your conduct reach this court, your parole will be revoked immediately and you will begin serving your sentences. You will not be brought back here for questioning or explanations. You will be picked up and taken to prison without notice to you and without delay. Now, in spite of such deterrence, the rise in crime and the percentage among youth are astronomical. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. And coupled with it are the seducers, the psychedelic witchery of drugs, with accompanying trips into the habitations of cruelty, have multiplied the task of law enforcement manifold times. The seducers, a permissiveness, sex deviation, exposure, new morality beguile the child. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, we have the record of those days to compare with this hour. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with what? Violence. So read it and weep, mister. Now here is checkpoint number 5, the breakdown of marriage. Marrying and giving in marriage. That means in and out of it. It's becoming the accepted pattern to marry 2, 3, or 4 times. A house isn't home anymore. It's a status symbol. Have you noticed the tie-in? They were eating and drinking. I sometimes wonder, in the midst of these franchises, whether or not anyone ever eats at home anymore. Every day it's another interesting restaurant in a new decor with a bar and a liquor license. Eating and drinking. What does that do to the home life? Well, it's poor soil for lasting marriage. I'll tell you this. The wine soon vanishes in any marriage. The romance, the honeymoon, the sex thrill all fade. Marriage involves God, mister. It always has. It reaches into another world. It grants the prerogative of creation. And that's pretty serious business, bringing babies into this world. So that's God's interest, and you had better include heaven in your marriage. Marriage is a God-ordained institution. No other ideology will ever sustain it. And here is checkpoint number 6. A special enemy of God will arise from the north. Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel. There you have today's headline. The northern menace is slowly poisoning the mainstream of humanity. This is the adversary which raises the clenched fist toward heaven, and its broad base is unwavering atheism. It's a meddler. It is busy inflaming Ishmael against Isaac. Here is checkpoint number 7. The world church, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast. Now you'd better ponder that passage. The world church is nothing more than the worldly church. Its motivation is owned lock, stock, and barrel by this present world system. This back ecumenical interlocking pyramid of power, of wealth and patronage, is waiting to crown a world leader. Its professed spouse is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It has held charter and property and position in his name, but today that spouse is betrayed. And there can be no reign of Antichrist until the false prophet leads humanity in earth's colossal, treacherous act. This is how the Bible prophecy describes that very act. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had 2 horns of a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Now there are other checkpoints. These I must reserve for a future service should Christ tarry and spare us. But one thing is certain, sir, by pattern and by promise, there will be a mysterious evacuation, and a forerunner is in my text. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, that is the moment that judgment begins. Now there is a generation that we'll see within that short period, the rise of Antichrist and the abomination of desolation, that great wrecker. He will hold nothing sacred, since that period which our Lord described as a great tribulation cannot lengthen beyond 7 years. It is quite possible that that generation has already been born. And when you see the spirit of rebellion in the youth of the world today, it startles you when you ask, is this that generation? I know it's shocking to even contemplate it. These are the last days of the church. The message of Jesus Christ has been a blood transfusion for a dying world for nearly 2,000 years. Remove it, and there's nothing to quicken civilization. But it will be removed. Nothing can change that fact. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Now the moments left for making a choice are receding faster than you realize, my good friend. I can't promise that the church will be here to help you toward Jesus Christ next week. I can't promise that. I know the signs, do you? Then knowing what I have shared with you in this message, I wouldn't want to be in your place if I were unsaved. So this should be your supreme moment. The message you have shared pinpoints. That Bible of yours, mister, is the most important schedule you will ever own. You can know what each big event on earth means. I know this, if the signs that God has posted do not bring you to the altar, then nothing will. But there is nothing to hinder you now in these next 10 seconds. Many are already asking, can I have copies of today's message? I want them for study. I want them to share with my friends. Now the answer, folk, is yes. You can secure as many printed copies as you can use, but you must request them this week. This week only. I thank you for helping keeping these aisles clear now, so that many are moving toward the broadcast altar. They're coming away from formal religion, rituals, which have become more and more meaningless. I know what you're seeking, folk. You're seeking a present tense living Savior. You're seeking an experience of grace that will fill your life with forgiveness and cleansing. And that is salvation. Now I'm going to share this altar with you, Lord and Savior. Many are at this altar. Thou art using revival time to bring these to thee. These wish to be saved. Their lives have been spoiled. They sicken at the bad they see. The language is bad, the thoughts are unclean, the habits are filthy. Change them now, Jesus. Grant them a new birth. Oh, I can never thank thee enough for what thou art doing for these at this revival time altar. As I kneel in thy presence, thy humble evangelist, oh God, use me now in any way thou dost see fit. Amen. I love to share this altar with you folk. It's the peak of every broadcast service. We expect results, and God gives us results. William C. Lewis of Brown Mills, New Jersey, found an altar in his car as he was driving one Sunday recently. Brother Ward, I was on my way to work. Your message, Double Play, arrested me. I felt God's presence in that car with me. Now, before I leave this altar, before I leave, the Holy Spirit has told me to talk directly to a teenage daughter in this audience who has impudently and cruelly talked back to her mother today. That mother is broken in spirit, daughter. She has washed and ironed for you, daughter. She has cooked and sewn for you. She has sacrificed for you, and you have crushed her today with your talk. And the Holy Spirit sends this message to you, girl, to apologize to your mother within the next hour. God will take a hand. So do it now, girl, and do it now. That's all I have to say to you. I know God works in this way, because I absolutely rely on this fact, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.